Genesis 26, 1 to 35. I come back to this passage for a second time. In the previous discourse, I tried to show that God's people can, in this life, meet with difficulties. And it's no sign that God is against them. They are brought into these difficulties for various reasons. But God's people meet with trials and difficulties in this life. And I try to draw comfort from that, and instruction from it, and warning from it. Now, in this second discourse, I want to move on to this point. God's people are sometimes sinful. In ourselves, brothers and sisters, we are sinners still. Before God in Christ, I am fully aware, and I glory in the fact, and I preach that we are perfect in our Lord Jesus, spotless, without sin. But in ourselves, we are sinners still. Let me explain. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation now to any man who is in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 to 14. By one offering, Christ has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But that's the point. If before God we are positionally sanctified, but in ourselves we are being progressively sanctified. And this is yet imperfect in this life. So we still stumble, fall, fail. The word is sin. Before God we are accounted righteous in our positional sanctification and in our justification. We are right before God. But it's now before men that we have to live, and in our lives. And Isaac shows that even the most spiritual of men, not that I would call him the most spiritual, but the most spiritual of men and women, are sinners still. We see in verse 7, for example, that he lies. When the man of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Why did he do that? Because he was afraid to say, "She is my wife." He thought, "The men of this place might kill me on account of Rebecca, because she is beautiful." And because of the consequences as he saw them, because of his fears and doubts, he sinned. He lied. David lied. Peter failed. Sinned. Denied that he knew Christ. Lied. And so on. We are sinners still, brother and sister. We still stumble, fail, and fall. The word is sin. You see, this man, Isaac, repeats the sin of his father. There's a warning. He repeats the sin of his father, and he, like his father, he brings himself and his wife and the future and his family, the name of God, into compromise and risk and danger. He exposes himself and his family, his wife, to the most appalling danger. It's easier to copy the sins of others than their good points, is it not? And so he lies. He stumbles. He falls. I'm not saying this by way of excuse. It's a warning to us. It's a rebuke to us. It's a challenge to us. This is recorded that we might not sin. But this man sins, and therefore, brother, sister, you have sinned, I know. I'm not excusing it, nor my own. But the blood of Christ still washes us from every sin. We're still the children of God. That must not be read or listened to or heard as understood to be encouraging sin. But the man of God is still a man who falls. The best of men are men at best. But there's another feature here. When we get to 34 and 35, this verse, the verses in this chapter, Genesis 26, verses 34 to 35, we meet Esau marrying two Hittite women. And this, we're told, is a source of great grief, sorrow, anxiety to Isaac and Rebekah. Now, I am not sure I can say this, but Scripture records it, the facts, and I think the deduction is fair. In the previous chapter, 25 and verse 28, we are told quite plainly that this is a dysfunctional family, that Isaac and Rebekah have favorites. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And we're going to see this played out in a very severe way in later verses in the book of Genesis. These things are not isolated incidents. This tells us a great deal. The parents had favorites. The boys would know it. Children are very perceptive. Children are far wiser than adults allow for. They understand. They pick up. They understand. They read the vibes. They feel them. And these boys would know. Jacob and Esau would know what's going on. Esau would understand. Now, you see, look at the time. Isaac marries Rebekah when he's 40. Rebekah bears the boys when she is 60. In verse 34, it's 40 years later again that this trouble comes with Esau's marriages. Work those dates out. There's a 40-year gap. Isaac and Rebekah have been bringing up these boys for 40 years. I'm putting it to you. The text doesn't say so, but I'm putting it to you, combining these facts, that these sins and failures, which started 40 years ago, seems to me reap a harvest 40 years later. The seeds that were sown, the acorns that were planted in the boys, the children's, the sons' babyhood and growing adulthood and so on, reap a harvest years and years later. And I believe that Isaac and Rebekah show that they're bad parents and they spoil their children and they reap the harvest. Now, this is a tremendous warning. I don't want to be harsh and hard, but I want to be faithful to Scripture as I see it. I'm warning all parents here. The seeds you sow today with your children, the harvest will be reaped maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later. You see, Abraham leads to Isaac, and Isaac leads to Esau. It's a warning to me to do the right and leave the consequences with God. I was struck reading a few moments ago in the book of Acts when Paul and his friends were trying to preach the gospel, but the Spirit didn't allow them to preach the gospel in certain places. And then he had that vision to take him over into Europe, and he started working amongst a group of women in Philippi. And it all seemed so small, and he could probably look at himself and wonder, well, what's all this about? I wanted to preach in these large cities, and I'm not allowed to. Here I'm by the riverside. And yet the work had now broken out, the gospel work had now broken out in Europe. I see this. What seems small today, the harvest can be immense years and years later. The point I'm making here is that it's a warning to us as parents. There are no little failures and no little sins. What we do today has a harvest tomorrow and maybe 40 years later. It's an encouragement for us, an instruction to us to do the right today, whatever the consequences. You see, Isaac here, he lies because of the consequences, and I believe the consequences of his failure as a father are severe too. So that's an instruction to me as a believer and to you, brother and sister, in Christ. It's a warning to us. It's an encouragement to us too, to do the right, whatever the consequences, because likewise the harvest can be a long way ahead. I've said before, personally speaking, that I write my books now, not in much hope of doing good now, but in the hope that, say, 50 years' time, they will live and reap a harvest for God then, for God's glory. Be that as it may. The second discourse, God's people are sometimes sinful. Brother and sister, our business is to be holy. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We are holy in Christ, yes. Now we must go and live out before this fallen world, before the Abimelechs of this world. We must live out the gospel we profess. Christ is in us. Christ is formed in us. And he must shine through us in our lives. May God bless these thoughts from Genesis 26.